This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boom. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Sir James Shapiro of Columbia University, his book, The Playbook, is the story of the Federal Theater, 1935 to 1939. And it is the Federal Theater that creates moments in that everybody resonates with. And one of them is what we call now urban poverty. The President of the United States, after his election, I believe in an overwhelming election in 1936, ill-clad, ill-housed, ill-clad, and ill-nourished were the three that FDR recognized. And the Federal Theater came forward with a project called One Third of America. And boy, did it get them into trouble. Did they know, Jim, that trouble was coming?
Allie Flanagan had been so careful to push out of the program a handful of truly radical socialist, extreme Marxists who wanted to do plays that attacked the Supreme Court and attacked mainstream American values, and she did push them out. But she thought by embracing what FDR had spoken of in his second inaugural address as one third of a nation and the problem of housing, she thought this was a progressive winner. This was something that the average American would truly understand. And brought together a great team over the summer in Poughkeepsie, New York, of designers and directors and movement coaches and actors. And they worked on this and produced One Third of a Nation. And it opened in New York City on Broadway. You can only imagine what it was like being in a theater and watching a play that begins with a fire on stage, which is always a terrifying thing. And the set, of course, is a tenement building where there is a tenement fire and people suffer and die from it. This was one of what were called the living newspapers, which were fact-based accounts of problems, in this case, real estate, and others of socialized medicine, utilities, subjects that Broadway and Hollywood never handle. But the Federal Theater was bringing into the lives of everyday Americans. And this was a play that would move outside of New York and Philadelphia. They used collapsing houses, which was a problem in Philadelphia from poor construction at the time. Each part of the country where this play was staged drew attention to its own local housing problems. And of course, vested interests, real estate interests, moneyed interests that had sway in Congress were not happy with plays that pointed out who were the winners and who were the losers in the American housing crisis.
We've mentioned Martin Dies, but this moves to the Senate. Very famous names. William Borah, Robert Wagner, who is in favor of housing, the Housing Act from 1937, but, and James, William Byrd, James, William Byrd I've mentioned, Robert Wagner, Millard Tidings of Maryland. These are Harry Byrd of Virginia. Very upset by this. And it looks to be purposeful, making a message to the Congress that something must be done. And yet it's rejected by the Congress. And Flanagan knew it. It was in the headlines. But the theater piece is too popular, so they don't pull it. They don't step back.
The reviewers never mention it, but there's a small scene in which the senators you mention are mocked on stage. And you mock United States senators at your peril. So they began to discuss and read from and enter into the congressional record this mockery. Now, the mockery is using the very words of those senators. So here you have the senators reading their own words that they had already spoken in the congressional record into it again through their attack on this federal theater play. But this again was a way of attacking the weak spots of Roosevelt's administration without going after the president directly.
There was a second recession in 37 to 38. So the country's feeling like it's going down again. Jim, I believe your reporting is that at no point was any play that was brought forward, produced by the Federal Theater, that went after the lynchings. But one big one you feature is Liberty Deferred, written by two young men, Hill and Silvera. Who were they?
Abram Hill, and John Silvera were two very young and talented members of the Federal Theater. They're both African-American. They were visionary, and they wanted to tell the story of the history of race in America. Martin Dies, as a senior in high school in Beaumont, Texas, had witnessed two lynchings in his hometown that year. At this time, the Senate was refusing to criminalize lynching. There was just a strong Southern bloc that didn't want to open the door to legislation that would have eroded Jim Crow in America. So Hill and Silvera, these young guys in their 20s, decided we're going to write a play together, and it's going to be fact-based. In fact, they produced an 8-page bibliography so that every scene and every line in that play could be fact-checked. And this was going to be a history of racism in America that went back to 1619. We now talk about the 1619 Project. These men were almost a century ahead. And they wrote a sardonic, funny, bitter, but truthful story called Liberty Deferred, about the ways in which the liberties of African Americans had been deferred from the early 17th century until that moment in the 1930s. And it included scenes such as one in which a black man is denied the right to vote with doors slamming on him every way he turned. And what to my mind was probably the most brilliant scene in any federal theater play. And that was called Lynchotopia. Lynchotopia was probably written by Silvera, or at least it was his idea. It's a very funny but brutal scene. And it's imagined as an annual January 1st moment where all the individuals, mostly black men, who have been lynched in the previous year gather in this heavenly site called Lynchotopia. And each one tells his story, how he was lynched. And there's a man who's recording their stories. And when he's told that this lynch victim had a blowtorch used on him, you know, exclaims, "Oh, they're going modern now, are they?" And it's bitter and it's funny. And they all compete to tell the story of the worst lynching of the year and then have to go up against the worst lynching of all time. And it was a great way of telling the story. The problem for the Federal Theater, the problem for Hill and Abram Hill and John Silvera, was their white supervisor was not happy with this play. He wanted to tell a story of slavery that implicated blacks as the cause of slavery. And he slow walked their script, sending it back time and again over a 2-year period, so that Liberty Deferred was still not staged by the time the Federal Theater was closed by the American government. And it has never been staged since that day.
The book is The Playbook, a story of theater, democracy, and the making of a culture war. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.